Let's open up our Bibles this evening to Isaiah chapter 43. We'll have a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we are so thankful again to be in the house of God one more time. The Lord, we're thankful for a place we're able to come together and to hear the word of God, to sing the songs of Zion, to have fellowship one with another. Heavenly Father, to have the same direction one with another. Lord, people get together in many things in life, in many different events. And Lord, most of them, they're not together in the same mind. Their minds are all over the place. But Heavenly Father, as we come together in the house of God, we have the same mind. And Lord, it needs to be the mind of Christ. Dear Heavenly Father, I desire to serve you, to worship you, to please you, dear Heavenly Father, and dear Lord, to get instruction, to get help, to get closer to you, that we may win this glorious battle one day. So dear Lord, we're thankful for your goodness to us. We thank you that you saved us one day. We thank you that you keep us, dear Lord, that you sent your Holy Spirit to help us and guide us. Dear Lord, we're thankful for all those things, and we cannot do enough to show how grateful we are. Outside of what you told us to do, just obey your word. So, Lord, we ask you to be with us as we again look into your word this evening, dear Heavenly Father. We ask you to be with us that we may glean some thoughts out of it, dear Heavenly Father, to be an encouragement, to be a blessing to us, and we'll certainly thank you for that. Dear Lord, anoint the word, anoint me that I bring as you would have us to. In Jesus' name we ask and we pray. Amen. You know, sometimes we think of different books or different verses of scriptures that's our favorite or something, and I know they can vary from different battles or times in our lives or whatever. And I don't know if I've ever really had a very favorite scripture or chapter or book or anything. There again, it depends on what you're going through. But this is one that I always enjoyed, and if I am not mistaken, I believe this was one of Sister Swanabeck's favorite verses also. Isaiah chapter 43, we're just going to read verse 1 and 2. And actually, we're going to look at verse 2 this evening. But as I read this verse, just going over my notes again this evening before service, as I read verse 1, I'm going to slow this verse down a little bit. I just felt the Lord bless some of the thoughts in verse 1 that actually had nothing to do with my message. But verse 1, chapter 43 of Isaiah, it says, "But now, thus said the Lord." You know, we want to pay attention when God says something. Many times in the Bible, I've gotten accustomed to reading the red and the letters in red, and I tell you, this is Jesus speaking. But when the Lord says something, we should take a little bit extra paying attention to it, a little bit listening to it. He says, "But thus said the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and that formed thee, O Israel, fear not. For I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine." Before we go into verse 2, I want to cover that again. We know that Jacob's name was turned into Israel. So if you can put your name in there in the same scenario with you, "But now thus saith the Lord that created thee," and you can put your name in there. God created me. God created you, and he hath formed you, he hath formed thee, O Israel. God created, again, you can put your name in there again, it's Israel, Jacob's the same person. He tells us, he says, "To fear not, for I have redeemed thee, I have saved you. I created you, I formed you, I made you, and I've saved you, and I have called thee by thy name, and thou art mine." God wants us to belong to him. God wants to own us, so to speak. You know, that's sort of a negative attitude out there in the world. I'm not owned by anybody. But God says, I want to own you. Not to own you, to be a lord over you in a sense of hardship or things like that, but to do good for you, to bless you. And he goes on into verse 2, which is our thought for this evening. "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flames kindle upon thee. I brought a message with this verse many years ago that the Lord blessed my heart and the verses, and they're there. Thought, God says, when thou pass through the waters, I will be with thee. So we know that the waters, the rivers, the fire, it's trials, it's battles, it's situations in our lives. That's what he's meaning here. When you go through those things, God says, when you pass through them. And I brought a message that was a blessing to me. God says, you're not going to get in the middle there and get stuck and get halfway through there or get tired. He says, I'm going to go with you. You're going to go through these battles. You're going to start them, and you're going to go into them, and you're going to come out the other side. You're going to go through. And he says, not only that, he says, I'm going to be with you every step of the way. I've said that before. I said, God, you know, and I related it many years ago when I brought the message. And some of you know, some of you don't know, that when I was a younger person in my late teens and things, I used to have a big truck, and I used to race it in mud hops and mud bogs and things. And one of the greatest challenges was to get through the entire course. There was a course that you had to go through, and to go through each and every course. The first hole, there was usually three holes there. The first hole was not too bad. You went over hill, you went in the second hole, that was a little worse. You went over there and went in the third hole. Now that was where it was a challenge. And you know what? There were people on both sides, your family, your friends, whoever, just spectators, and they were cheering you on. And they're like, go on, keep going, go on, go on. But you know, God says, I'm not standing on the sidelines. And I'm not standing in the crowd. I'm not standing at the end or the beginning and rushing and voting for you to go through. God says, I'm going to be right in there with you. I'm going to go through the battle with you, through the trials. I want to look at this thought for this evening. And I want to look at the song we have in our songbook, page 164. It says, where he leads me. Where he leads me. And the chorus of this, of course, all four verses say the same words in both stanzas of the verses. But the chorus says, and the same thing in the chorus, I'll just read the latter part of it. Where he leads me, I will follow. I'll go with him all the way. God's going to lead us. God's going to, there's another song in our song book that says, while Jesus leads the van, there can be no failure. As long as Christ is ahead, as long as Christ is leading us, as long as Christ has guided us, there can be no failure. And he says there, where he leads me, I will follow. I will go with him all the way. Verse 2 there, he says that Jesus says, thou will pass through the rivers, through the waters, I will be with thee. I thank God for that. I thank God for that promise. We talked a little bit about this morning. God's not a God afar off. God's not a God that's over there or back there somewhere. God says, I'm right here with you. When you go to bed tonight, that childlike faith. I just see the Lord just pull up his own chair and sit down there right beside you. Let you sleep, sit there and watch. He doesn't say, well, you know, we put children to bed. You put a little child in the crib and you make sure they're asleep and the lights are all whatever you want them to do. You might have some type of sound thing going on and you leave them and you shut the door ever so much and you leave them and you go to bed. Now you might listen for a cry, but God doesn't do that. God says, you're asleep. I'm going to sit right here beside you. Not that he actually has to protect you with anything that way, but he says, I'm not going to leave you. When you get up in the morning, I'm going to be with you. When you go to work, when you go wherever you do through the day, I'm going to be with you. For 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, except for this year, it's 366. Thank God he's going to be with us. The thought for this evening is the title of the verse that I read, I will be with thee. Every soul needs Christ. Every soul that lives upon the face of the earth needs Christ. In Acts 17 and 28, it says, for in him we live and we move and we have our being. I thank God we serve a God that desires to be with us. You know, some people don't really want to be with us. Some people, they might say hi. They, you know, and there are some people that I'm the same way. There are some people, I may say hi to them, I may greet them, but you know what, I've always said this sometimes on the job. Sometimes on the job, there are people on the job that I enjoy being with on the job, we get along well on the job, but when it's time over, we don't associate outside the job because of their lifestyle and my lifestyle. There's some things we don't want to be with certain people. We don't want to go. I remember when I was young, first time I worked up here, and there was a couple. You know, it's amazing. Then all of us were young. All of us. I don't think there was one person there that was over 25 years old. And I think there was one guy there. He was like 23, and we were all 18 or so. We thought he was old. Now I don't know if there's a guy up there that's under 30. But there was one guy there. He and I hung out a little bit. But I hung out with him a time or two outside the shop. I'm like, and I would probably just say, wasn't saved long. I'm like, this is not a guy I need to be hanging with. He's going to end up getting me in trouble. And we separated. But God says, I desire to be with you. I long to be with you. Today we want to ask the question from verse 1 here. Can you hear the Savior calling? Take thy cross and follow me. Can you hear the Savior calling? Take thy cross and follow me. You know, we spoke of this morning, sometimes we need to hear the Lord or witness the Lord talk to us. Witness the Lord help us. But do we hear God's calling? Do we hear God's direction? You know, as each and every one of us, and it doesn't matter how old we are, long as we have a mind and long as we have a voice, God can use us. God can use us to testify. God can use us to tell people about the things of God. God can use us to tell people about the story. This particular past week, I had the opportunity to just, door opened up, and I was telling a man about the rich young ruler. And I went through the story, and he just sitting there with his hand in his pocket, just shaking his head. He was looking down. He wouldn't look up at me. He just listening, because he knew nothing of the story. But I went through the story and told him some things and all that was about that particular story. But God can use us. Can you hear the Savior calling? You know, back in the Old Testament, there was a young man named Samuel. And Samuel hadn't known the Lord yet. And Samuel was asleep one day. And the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and he ran to Eli. And he goes to Eli. He goes, you've called me, Eli. He goes, I didn't call you. He says, go back to sleep. He goes, I didn't call you. Samuel goes back to sleep. He lays down. And again, the Lord calls him again. And he gets up and he goes to Eli. He says, you called me. He says, I heard you call me. He says, I didn't call you. He told him the second time to go lay down. He went the second time and lay down. The Lord called him again. And Samuel goes to Eli. He goes, you called me. I know you called me. Eli realized it was the Lord talking to Samuel. Samuel didn't realize that yet. Samuel didn't know it was God talking to him. Samuel didn't understand. He did not have a relationship with God. But Eli realized it was God talking to Samuel, and he says, go back, Samuel, and lay down. He goes, and when you hear the Lord calling you again, and he told him, Samuel, when you hear the Lord calling you, he says, speak, for thy servant heareth thee. Sort of a little bit of overrun from this morning's message. How many times, Lord, speak? I desire to hear from you. Dear Lord, I desire for you to call me. Dear Lord, what do you have me to do? I can hear thy Savior calling. Take thy cross and follow me. I believe that the Bible teaches us that every soul upon the face of the earth shall be called at one time in their lives. God will deal with every single soul. And as Brother Dave was saying a little bit, he deals with everybody different. He might deal with you through a message. He might deal with you reading a sign. You know, there's signs, and sometimes I see signs on the road. You know, there's a family, I guess, I don't know if they're Amish or what they are, Mennonite, but there's a family between the church in Hagerstown and Brother Steve and Sister Esther's home. And actually, Brother Greg place also. There's a family on a hill, big farm, both sides, and they have a little sign, and they change that sign every day. I guess they change it because every day I ride by going to camp meeting back and forth there, that sign is changed every day. A little scripture, a little verse of scripture and things like that, and I see other big signs that Jesus loves you, Jesus cares, all these things, and when I pass them and I read them and I wonder, what effect do they do? You know, I think of signs, and what effect do they do? The sign we'll put out for revival and things. What effect does it do? You know, I may not know.
But somebody, God may deal with somebody through a sign. A sign on the door out there. Not the door, but on that gate out there in the corner of Mason Eastern Avenue. It affected somebody one time, didn't it? It affected Brother Hanlon. I couldn't think of it. It affected him. Coming down there, and he's seen that sign, the Church of God. And God directed him here. Even if just one small sign, God can direct. God can call. God can work. I was thinking either today or this afternoon or something, or from reading this, going back over my message, I was thinking of a message that I brought some years ago about keep walking. If you remember the story about the children of Israel when they were going to go in against Jericho. And God told him, I want you to go into Jericho. I want you to walk around Jericho one time and not say a word. Don't make a sound. Don't blow a horn. Don't say a word. Don't speak. Don't anything. Well, you know what? The first time they came in there, I'm certain that the people in Jericho, they got prepared. They were afraid. Because we know that Rahab and her family, they were already afraid because of what they heard God did for them for the Red Sea. And they were afraid. Here they come on the army of Israel. Here they come, and they were prepared. They watch him walk around the city, and they watch him go home, wondering what's going on. This went on for 6 days. I'm assuming after 4 or 5 days, they became relaxed. This is a thought that I had this afternoon. I thought, sometimes when we have people that we know, friends, family, neighbors, and they may see you and I coming, and they put on a defense. Here comes that Christian person. They're going to invite me to revival. They're going to invite me to church. They're going to tell me about Jesus. They're going to tell, and they put up a defense. I thought, sometimes we might come to them and say, how you doing? Good to see you. Hope you have a good day. Lord bless you. Praying for you. That's all. You know what that does? It might lighten up the defense. We might doubt it another time and another time and another time. That's what the Lord, I feel the Lord give me this thought this afternoon. It might be 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, 60 years we do that. 7 years. Children of Israel walked around that city 6 times, one time a day. 7th day, they came and they walked around that city 7 times. And then they stopped and they shouted and the walls came down and they defeated the people in Jericho. Sadly, there may be people in our lives, every one of our lives, we may meet day after day, year after year, centuries, decades after decades, and they may never accept Jesus Christ, but that wall will come down one day and their lives will be destroyed. But there may be one or two somewhere in our lives. Rahab and her family was saved because they had a fear of the things of God. Of all the people that were in Jericho, they may have been destroyed. But those people, Rahab and her family, were saved. There may be someone in our lives as we pass through this life, and we may deal with them or talk to them or work with them or say nothing to them at all, that God can work with their souls. But he says there, it's a cross. He says there, where he leads me, I will follow. I'll go with him all the way. We have to be faithful. There's people that I meet from time to time and they ask me, do you still go to church? I thank God I can say yes, I still go to church. Every soul shall be called. And God will use you and I as some type of a witness. They're called not to a life of ease, but sometimes a life of self-denial. Luke 14:27 says, for whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. We know the story of Ananias. When God talked to Saul on the road to Damascus, and he sent Saul to the city of Damascus, and he told Ananias to go in there. He told Ananias one thing. He goes, you're going to have to go talk to Saul and tell him one thing. Saul, you're going to have to suffer some things. You're going to have to suffer not only just some things. Saul, you're going to have to suffer some great things in life. You're going to be a child of God. Where he leads me. That's an easy song to sing. It's a difficult song to sometimes walk by. Oh, where he leads me, I'll follow. I'll go through the garden. We're going to look at each one of these verses. We go down through there. He says, I'll go through the garden. I'll go through the judgment. I'll go through all these things. Whatever God does, I'll go. I'll follow you, Lord. But then it's a different when God says, this is what I need you to do. Lord, help us. Samuel said, thy servant heareth thee. Do we hear God? The rich young ruler came to Jesus. And he asked him, what do I need to do? And Jesus told him. And he went away sorrowfully. Can you hear Jesus call? You know, every one of us probably no doubt, and from time to time we've testified where we've allowed situations or opportunities to slip by. Had an opportunity to tell them about Christ and just somehow let it slip by. And that's just that sometimes that's a human part of us. We're just in the circumstance, involved, whatever. And it just, sometimes we may not even recognize it until it's passed. Lord, help us. But there are sometimes God says, this is what I need you to do. And there are sometimes you say, you question it and you think about it. And it isn't like a circumstance where it's just quickly happened and going. This might take some days. God says, I need you to do this. I need you to take care of this. I need you to work with this. You know, some of the examples we always talk about restitution. I believe the Bible still teaches restitution. There are some things that maybe you've done before you got saved. And when you got saved, God convicts you that you did wrong. You've taken something. You've taken money. You've misrepresented something in your life. And God puts conviction in your heart. You need to take care of that. And so, well, I understand, but let it go. But God says you need to take care of that. And sometimes God will bring your salvation to a halt and not let you go anywhere else. This is what you need to take care of. Where he leads me, I will follow. Sometimes God says, you know what? You need to apologize there. You need to make something straight. You need to make something right. And God won't allow any victory to come. God won't allow you to proceed or go further in the things of God until you get those things straight. Can you hear Jesus calling? If we answer the call and pick up our cross and follow him, verse 1 of the song says, I can hear my Savior calling. Take thy cross and follow me. When God dealt with my soul, I don't really remember. Sometimes God, like I say, God deals with everybody different. I don't remember him telling me, you know, you've got a cross to bear. There were some things that I knew. There was some challenge that I knew with my family, my mom especially. My mom was definitely not in favor of this walk at all. She was very negative about it. And I knew there were some challenges there. And I knew when I first got saved and talked to her, I remember sitting on the porch with her one day and talking to her. I was thank God I was saved. And I was telling her, and there was just this negative influence. There was this negative vibe. I'm like, I just need to leave that alone. I knew that. There's some things we have to face. And he says there in that verse, I can hear the Savior calling. Take thy cross and follow me. And Isaiah says that God will be with you. The battles of life, they shall not overcome you. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 20. Deuteronomy chapter 20 and verse 1 says, when thou goest out to battle against thine enemies, and see the horses and the chariots and the people more than thou, be not afraid of them. For the Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. You know, I guess we don't face too many things at our age now of peer pressure. Sister Ann's testified sometimes, maybe some. But I remember when I first got saved, as a young person, in a sense, taking a stand that you're a Christian on the job especially. Let me tell you what, there was some huge peer pressure. There was, I remember some of you knew that before I had gotten saved, me and my best friend, I think back in 11th grade or maybe even 10th grade, we decided, which we didn't think my mom and I didn't, mom didn't either, and I didn't think, we decided when we graduate high school, why don't we go away for the summer and live? Go get a job, go to Ocean City, get a job and live there for the summer. Sort of a pipe dream at the time. But as time went on, it came reality. And we went down the ocean in the middle of winter. My mom and dad went with us, and we found a job, and we found a place to stay in the kingdom, and God saved me. And, you know, plans were set, and we already went, and we left, and we went down there. And the place that we worked, I worked at Phillips, and many of you know the place, a big seafood place down there. And they knew, they found out that I was a Christian. Let me tell you what, I don't remember what all happened that particular day. I don't remember what all was going on, but there was some ridicule, there was some teasing, there was some things, and here I am 17 years old, and I'm getting this the first time away from home, and all this, and I can remember getting off work, going back to my our room there, my Mark, I think he had gone to work, and I remember crying and praying to God. It was tough. And God just came right there to my aid and helped me. And God just helped me. And let me know, this is what you're going to have to go through, some hard times. You're going to have to go through some difficult times. And he says here in verse 1 of Deuteronomy 20, when thou goest out to battle against thine enemy, and sometimes that's the way it seems to be, enemy, and to see the horses and the chariots, a lot of people out there, there's a lot of people against you, and the people more than thou, be not afraid of them. Like I say, we're as our age, and sometimes we don't face that like we did maybe when we were younger. But we still have peer pressure with family and friends and neighbors and things. And even today, we don't know what we'll face before the time. But we were at Colton's birthday party, and I was talking to my niece, I guess it is, and we were talking about things in the world today. And she even made a comment, the same thing. She goes, I'm not really afraid for us too much, but I'm feared for our children, of what kind of life they're going to grow up in, what kind of world they're going to grow up in. It's going to be even greater difficult for people to get saved because there's such a greatness against them. They see the horses and the chariots and the people more than thou. Be not afraid of them, for the Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Sometimes when the devil can battle us and seem to think there's just a few of us, God says, don't be afraid. And in verse 2 there, he says, I will go with thee through the garden. I will go with him all the way. Matthew chapter 26. Try to shorten this up a little bit here, not reading all these verses. But this is the story of the garden. And we'll go through it quick. Pick it up in verse 36. Then Jesus come with them into the place called Gethsemane, and said unto his disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then said he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto his disciples and findeth them asleep, and said unto Peter, what, could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, that ye enter not into temptation. And the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And he went again and second time and prayed, saying, O Father, if this cup may pass away from me, except I drink it, I will be done. The song says, I will go with him through the garden. I'll go with him all the way. In this gospel, it says that Jesus, being in agony, and he prayed more earnestly. And it says that his sweat was as great drops of blood. And he had to do this 3 times, and he took 3 of the closest disciples, and they slept.
they couldn't pray. I believe that this was probably, we can probably say, one of the most difficult times that Jesus had. I know he went to the cross. I know he suffered tremendously. But he had to get over this hurdle first. He had to get this rested upon God, his Father's shoulders. He was in agony, understanding what he was going to go through, what he had to go through there. And the psalm says, I will go with you. There again, another idea, the thought, it's easy to sing the song, and we raise our hand. I'll go with you through the garden. I'll go with you all the way. Well, let me tell you what, when it came out of the garden and the guards or the people came with him with Judas and everything, and they took Jesus away, the disciples, they said that, we'll go with you, Lord. We'll go with you. We'll die with you. But when that happened, they separated. Jesus says, in Isaiah back here, 43 and verse 2, he says, when you go through these things, I'll be with you. I won't forsake you. I won't leave you. We have many different battles. And just as Jesus had to do many times, and we'll have to do the same thing, sometimes we have to do much prayer. You know, sometimes we go to prayer. We go to prayer every day. And we may go to God and pray and say, Lord, help me through today. Bless the day. Different requests of the saints and everything else, needs that I might have. But there's other times where we go to God in prayer and we're in more earnest prayer. There's times I'm going to God in prayer. Let me tell you what, there wasn't anything else on my mind except for what my prayer need was at that time. And I didn't care. I didn't even mention it. Lord, this is what I am. God says, I'll be with you. He says, you won't be alone. Jesus knew what it meant to be alone. When he was on the cross and prayed, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? No matter how hard goes the battle of life, Jesus said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Verse 3 of the song, I'll go with him through the judgment. I'll go with him through the judgment. I'll go with him all the way. This may be a time where a song was not written correctly. Let me tell you what, when we get to the judgment, we want Christ being with us. Christ is already there. He's the judge. Lord, I need you. Lord, I need you. God, I need you. Lord, I don't need to go with you since I need you to help me here. But I'll go with you through the judgment, Lord. When it comes by the time of the judgment, by the grace of God, if we've been faithful and saved and stay true and keep our salvation and sanctification up in this time, in this part of the world, when we get there, Christ will take us through the judgment. Christ will take us through into the glory land. We won't have to face those things. Let's go to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20, picking up in verse 12. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the book according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in them, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. When we get to the judgment, we want to have the blood of Christ applied to our lives. Jesus told Moses, we just covered this a little bit ago. Jesus told Moses, I'm going to pass through the land of Egypt. And I want you to kill a lamb. And I want you to take that lamb, Moses, and I want you to put it on the two doorposts and across the top of the mantle there. He goes, when I pass through the city that night, when I see the blood, I will pass over those in that household. We're going to stand before God one day, and one thing he's going to look for is the blood of Jesus Christ applied to our lives. I accept, Lord. I accept you as Lord and Savior. I repent of the sins that I've done by the blood of Jesus Christ. Is there blood on your life today? Is the blood of Christ applied to your heart? Has the blood of Christ freed you from sin? That's what he's going to look for one day. Psalm says, I'll go with you through the judgment. God's going to see if there's blood. God's going to see if there's blood on our hearts and our minds, or he's going to see if there's blood on our feet where we walked through it, we trampled through it. We trampled it under our feet. We rejected it and done away with it. When you go through the judgment, we want Jesus Christ to be with us. We want Jesus Christ to apply, to appeal our case. Has his blood been applied? Has his blood been applied to where we go have the cross to bear? A suffering? Suffering for Christ, denial, rejection? Has our faith been questioned? That's what applies us. Jesus says, I'm going to go with you through all those things. I'm going to go with you through your suffering. I'm going to go with you whether you suffered ridicule from your family, from your neighbors, from the workplace. I'm going to go with you if you suffer even from the church family. Sometimes we suffer things of the church family. Suffer things from all kinds of people. Suffer things from hypocrites. That's a troublesome one time. People are hypocritical. There have been people that have been saved, living for God, doing things, but something got them, and they stop walking with Christ. And you know what they do? They can't just leave the church and go away. No, they got to criticize and try to tear down the church. We're going to suffer for Christ. Again, we're not young anymore. Some of you got saved when you were young. You can remember what school was like. It was difficult. Raising up in the teenage and 20 years, it was difficult. You were rejected. The enemy tries to question our faith. But God will use us. Just like he used Stephen. He says, I'll go with you. They took Stephen out of the city after Stephen had preached to him and told him about how they were living and how they were doing things wrong in life. And they took Stephen outside the city. They put him outside the city and they laid their coats at Saul's feet and they stoned Stephen to death. And Stephen, before he was stoned, he says, behold, I see Jesus standing at the right-hand side of the Father. It says they held their ears, they were pricked in their ears, and they stoned him to death. And giving consent, there was Saul. Giving consent to this. Later on, we see Saul on the road to Damascus, as we talked about earlier, and Jesus came to him. He goes, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is difficult for you, Saul, to kick against the pricks. It's difficult for you, Saul, to see things, to see people that were suffering, to see people that are going through hardship. He took children of God, he took the saints of God, and he persecuted them over and over and over, maybe even compelling them to death. Or compelling them to reject Jesus Christ and even crucifying him and killing him. Saul did those things. And he's seen their testimonies. I say, Lord, help us. We sing this song sometimes, Lord, I'll go with you. But when God sends us in there, we back up. I don't want to go that way. And three Hebrew children are standing there in the, before the fiery furnace. And the king said to them, he says, fire up the furnace 7 times hotter than it's ever been. And they said, you have an opportunity to bow before me, or I'm going to throw you in the furnace. And they said, king, we're not careful how to answer you. Our God shall deliver you, deliver us out of your hands. Either he'll send us in the furnace and we'll be delivered, or we'll just go on and be with heaven. It's easy to say these things and sing these songs and preach these words, but it's difficult when we come up to those things. And Saul came up to those things and God said, it's difficult for you to see what you see, Saul, and to reject Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25, pick up in verse 31. And when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations. And he shall gather them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goat. And he shall set the sheep on the right hand and the goats on the left. And then shall the king say unto them on the right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the world. And the fourth verse in our song says, He will give me grace and glory and go with me all the way. That's the desire of a heart one day. When he comes and he has his angels, I say, Lord, help us to live in such a way we're anxious. We're anxious. We're excited to stand before him, to hear those words, well done. We're excited to stand before him and see him take his hand. He says, you go to the right. And you go to the right and you inherit the kingdom of God prepared before the foundations of the world were ever formed. And enjoy the very presence of the glory of God. He will give me grace and glory. The last verse we have is in 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10. But the God of all grace, who hath called us into his eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after that ye have suffered a while, shall make you perfect, established, strengthened, and settled. After you've suffered, there's going to come glory. There's going to come grace. The God of all grace. We have to bear a cross. We have to go through the garden. We have to face the judgment. But God's grace is able to bring us through to glory by the grace of God. Whatever we have to face. I'll go with you, Lord. It's all a lot easier to say than it is to do. But God's going to say, okay. Okay. I accept your word. I thank God for salvation. I really do. Because I can remember as I first got saved, and as I stand here now and I can reflect back to those times, I can remember some of the small, I won't say trivial, because at that time they weren't trivial, small little trials that I had to go through when I was a young Christian. They seemed to be mountains. I mean, there were nothing today. But God was with me. Sometimes I faltered. Maybe sometimes I did. And God was patient. And God may have brought a message. God may have brought a message through the preaching of the word and helped me and say, you know what? Maybe you weren't what you should have been. And this is how you should work it. And I may have said, Lord, I apologize and go on. And every time. And God takes us through there. We're going to have to suffer. We have to go through some things. We have to go through the garden. Go through some judgment. Go through some difficult times. There is a great glory for God's people. I sang the song this evening. What a day that will be. And I looked upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, what a glorious day that will be. And all the battles and all the trials, there's this one song that says, we shall cast our crowns before him, because it's not of a crown of we gained or won or done anything of ourselves. It's only by the grace of God. And we'll cast them before him and we'll receive the glory that God has intended for us. But we have to go through. We have to follow him. Jesus says, this is the way. I've said to you many times, and God's given me that thought. Sometimes I look down the road. I say, I look down the road that God wants me to travel. And I look down the road I'd rather travel. This really looks a lot more easier, a delightful, a blessing. But that's a little bit difficult. That's a little more difficult time, God. God says, this is the road I need you to go. But in that road, there's glorious victories in that road. I don't understand them all the time. But I know through the battles, through the times, what glorious victories we have by the grace of God. But we have to follow. We have to follow. We can't say, I'll take a shortcut, Lord. Lord, I'd rather go this route. You know, Len and I were headed out to dinner Friday night, and of course the president came in Friday, and I think it was Friday, had everything messed up. So as we started out 7:02, we were going out to Outback, Blair Road, and for some reason it was all backed up, and we were able to, I think we got off, it was backed up right as we passed Golden Ring there at 40. We need to get off here and maybe go down back roads, maybe going up to Middle River somewhere, 43, go up somewhere. Well, we took that road, we went on 40, and that was all messed up. And we took a different way, and that was all messed up. And I thought to myself, what I thought was a shorter way, well, I'd get there easier. It came out, I said, we should have just stayed where we were and probably got there the same amount of time. Sometimes we say, Lord, I'd rather take a different route. This route seemed to be a little easier. But God can't give you the blessings and help you through the route that He wants us to take if we'll follow Him. May the Lord bless you. As Robert Song.
Let's open our book and turn to page 177. 177.
Amen.